Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a Monday morning from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh. A Monday morning that you wake up, realize a couple of things. One is that if you do live in some of the harder hit areas from Snowmageddon, we want to be careful out there. There is some black ice that you might encounter, and we want everybody to be safe and arrive alive and not have any issues. Number two is the Falcons wake up back in the playoffs. They're back in the playoffs because of the loss from the Seattle Seahawks yesterday, so that's some good news as well. All right, let's get into some of the issues with the Falcons at the moment, because the Falcons stand at 8-5 on the season, and just looking at the standings, Hugh, here's what you have in the NFC. You have Philadelphia at 11-2, and of course, today the big news will be the MRI to Carson Wentz, whether or not he has a torn ACL that might knock him out for the season, and what that means for the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, just to that, if Carson Wentz has a torn ACL, let me ask everybody here, are the Eagles still the favorites?
Of course not, John. I mean, the quarterback is hurt.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The quarterback hurt. I mean, that's you're talking about, even though Napoleon Dynamite, Nick Foles has been a starter in the past, he hasn't, not nothing like Carson Wentz. If he was like Carson Wentz, he would have been the starter. If he was better than Carson Wentz, he'd be the starter. You're losing the most important person on the field. Now, they might win a playoff game, maybe, or two, but it's tough it's going to be tough. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's going to be tough.
They can still run the ball well, and they still play very good defense, and they play good defense against the run for the most part. But you look at the top of the NFC now, and there's a lot of injuries. Minnesota was down four offensive linemen by the end of that game yesterday. Now Carson Wentz goes out. The Rams were banged up on the offensive line at both tackle spots. New Orleans, now Kamara should be back. It was a concussion. You would think he would be back with the 9-day layoff. But look, they're hurt up front on the offensive line. So there's a lot of team. This is that time of the year. Hugh says it all the time. This is that time of year. Everybody's banged up. But there are a lot of injuries at the top of the NFC playoff picture. And then you look over the AFC playoff picture, and those teams seem to be very, you know, the top healthy. Two teams there are healthy.
Healthy. And that's the thing, man. You know, we're talking about winning it all. Nah, I don't think they can do that, because that's going to be tough.
There was some news overnight. In the early morning hours, Ian Rappaport tweeted out that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers may have lost Gerald McCoy. That Tampa believes he's torn his biceps. So if they lose Gerald McCoy, again, if Falcons play at Tampa a week from tonight. So that would be a gigantic loss for Tampa. And then Tampa was eliminated yesterday, too. So we'll see how all that plays into the next game that the Falcons play next Monday night. All right, so back to this. You know, so, yeah, Philadelphia at 11-2, and we don't know about their quarterbacking situation. Minnesota is the second seed at 10-3. Rams are 9-4 in the number three seed. New Orleans 9-4 in the number four seed. Carolina 9-4 number five. Atlanta 8-5, number six. A couple of quick thoughts about this, Hugh. Just first off, the kind of just the numbers. Falcons at 8-5 are in as the second wild card ahead of the 8-5 Seahawks, who are the seventh seed. Then you have Detroit, Green Bay, and Dallas, 8-9-10, all at 7-6. And you look at those four teams that are right behind the Falcons, Seattle, Detroit, Green Bay, and Dallas, with 3 weeks to go. And who did the Falcons beat? Oh, they beat Seattle, Detroit, Green Bay, and Dallas. So they own the tiebreaker over all those teams. So that's one plus. The other plus is you get a little bit of a mini bye here. That was a tough little stretch to have to do the Monday-Thursday always is. But when you have a Monday-Thursday followed by, I mean rather Sunday-Thursday, followed by Thursday-Monday, the Falcons can almost treat this as a late season bye week.
I'm pretty sure they are. I'm pretty sure that some guys got away. They probably, got off their feet, Coach Quinn probably practiced a few days, but then gave him a few days off to just get, you know, away from football a little bit, like a mini vacation. You know, don't really go anywhere. Just get away. Just unwind. You know, hang out with the fam. You know, maybe go Christmas shopping or something like that. Just, you know, just take some time off.
The Falcons have won 5 of their last 7, and as you mentioned, and we just talked about it, at the moment with 3 games to go, the Falcons are healthy. And so with a mini bye, on top of the fact that this is a healthy team, on top of the fact that their defense, you know, last year at this time, the offense was peaking, right? I mean, the offense was starting to peak, and they just rode that offensive wave. I can argue almost that the defense is starting to peak. You get signs of that anyway, that this defense is starting to peak. And maybe they could start getting some turnovers here. That way, you know.
Yeah, we kind of said that last week when you're giving up like less than 17 points a game or 17 points a game. That's a good day. That's a bend but don't break mentality. And with the way that this offense is starting to look like it's sputtering a little bit, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure this offense is going to find its way. That's great to have your defense playing the way that they're playing.
And with the injury of Andy LaVitre, who should be out for another couple of weeks, how it is huge if Gerald McCoy cannot play, because I don't think there's many people that can guard, you know, that can block Gerald McCoy anyways. But look, with all due respect to Ben Garland, I don't want him going after Gerald McCoy.
You don't want that all day.
And because, you know, it's tough. It's tough for anybody to step in. And so hopefully, you know, I hate that this happened. Gerald McCoy is one of the nicer guys in the league. This will be the third time he's torn a tricep. He's had surgery on both triceps. So, you know, it's rough for him. But that will be a big injury, especially with everything that's going on with Tampa. Their defense is probably the one thing they can somewhat hang their hat on, compared to the mess that's going on offense with Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston.
Right, and right now there's a lot of, you know, angst between those two, between Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston. We'll certainly get into that as we get closer to the game between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. But as it goes to the playoffs, I look at it and I think, you know, Falcons have a shot here. I mean, not only do they have a shot to win the division, and of course they do, if they can win their last 3. Now, granted, 2 are on the road. You have to win at Tampa. You'd have to win at New Orleans, tall order, and you'd have to win at Carolina. But there's no – with Carson Wentz going down, I mean – Minnesota doesn't scare you, do they? I mean, you should.
Yeah. Minnesota beat you. Minnesota played good football. They played good, solid football. They held you, 9 points? What was the score?
Yeah, 14-9.
They held you to 9 points. I mean, they match up well with you. They match up well with your best weapon. And that defense, that front four, yeah, of course. And Case Keenum played pretty darn good football. So, yeah, you are worried about Minnesota. Not saying that they're unbeatable, but you got to give them the respect that they do.
Yeah, you lost to Minnesota by 5. You beat the Saints by 3. You lost to Carolina by 3. Those are the teams that are in the playoffs in the NFC at the moment. So it's super close. I mean, super close. There's no runaway team. And the Wentz injury might bring Philadelphia back to the pack a little bit, you would think.
I tell you what, the thing that you look at in the NFC is everybody's getting banged up a little bit, going down the stretch, and that bye week is going to be important. It's going to, you know, everybody's waiting to see what's going on with Carson Wentz and if Nick Foles can be the guy to carry the team. But the NFC as a whole, they're pretty banged up going into this last stretch of games. And it looks like the AFC is starting to gain that momentum and strength. It's hate to say, you know, not looking ahead a little bit, this might be another year where the AFC – NFC might be the sacrificial lamb for the AFC.
Well, you got Pittsburgh at 11-2, and they have played great football. Now, tonight, the Patriots are 10-2, and they will face the Dolphins. You're right, Jacksonville's peaking. That AFC West is kind of interesting, too. I mean, you have the Chiefs currently in the number 4 spot, and the Chargers are out of it. But, boy, that Chargers team has been playing tremendous football lately.
Everybody was, 6-6 yesterday going into the games? And who came out on top? Didn't the Raiders win yesterday?
No.
The Raiders didn't win? The Chiefs won. Okay. So it was the Chiefs and the Chargers. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's division still tight.
And those two play each other, by the way, in Kansas City at Arrowhead next Sunday, Chargers and Chiefs. And, you know, who would have thought that? Remember when the Chargers, they moved, they had the whole thing about StubHub Center and all the other fans within it. They were 0-4, and it was such a disaster. And suddenly, they're the team that nobody wants to play right now. Joey Bosa.
That dude.
Phillip Rivers is playing great. Allen's playing great.
Keenan, I heard a little bit of that game yesterday on the radio. And they were just gushing all over. Brian Baldy was just gushing all over Joey Bosa and talking about how he dominated at every level of football that he's ever played at. And, I mean, you know, the cat is balling. No question about it. The cat is balling.
If you're looking ahead to next week and wondering how things work out, for the Falcons, of course, they play Monday night, and they'll have the benefit of knowing, you know, what has happened the day before. And on Sunday, there are going to be some key games. For example, the Panthers play host to the Packers next week. Now, will Aaron Rodgers be back? There's some thought that it's possible. And, you know, you got to give it up for Brett Hundley. I mean, Brett Hundley has done a really nice job. The Packers are still technically alive. They're 7-6, and a lot of that is due to Brett Hundley. You know, I mean, they could have given up the ghost there because there were a lot of people saying, oh, they're dead. And Brett Hundley did a very nice job.
Same cast that was booing him. Like, what the game that was? They was booing him when they went in a couple weeks ago. They had to go in overtime.
If you look at, you know, Green Bay, I've seen some people saying, how in the world could Green Bay ever make the playoffs? Well, it's possible because they're at 7-6. If they go beat Carolina in Carolina, by the way, it does have the Falcons, they'd be 8-6, and then they would hold tiebreakers over not only Seattle and Dallas, but also Carolina at that point, if something was happening to Carolina, because that would put Carolina with their fifth loss with a game to play again against Atlanta, which, remember, could be for the final. So Green Bay could technically finish 10-6. Carolina could finish 10-6, and they'd own the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
But they also own them over to Seattle. Now, that Seattle one's big because Seattle plays who next week? The Rams.
And right, that is Seattle. That's a gigantic game.
That is pretty much for the division title. I mean, because that loss yesterday now gives –
If the Rams win, they would clinch it, right? I believe so.
Yeah, they would clinch a tie for it because that would give them their 10th win, and then Seattle could finish no better than 10-6 at that point. But I just went through all these tiebreakers for the teams behind the Falcons and then the two teams in the division. Falcons would beat every team with them or behind them, and then they have two games left to go with the Panthers and Saints. So last night, going into the Jacksonville game, you didn't control your own destiny. You completely control your own destiny now. Like, completely, even with the wild card, because you go. I think 10-6 is going to leave a team out and have a team in.
No, I agree. I think 10-6 could have a team. You could miss the playoffs at 10-6 in the NFC, and the benefit for the Falcons is they get to 10-6. They own the wild card tiebreaker over everybody. See, this is what you were talking about earlier this year. Even though it's been a frustrating year, where, you know, you lost to teams like Miami. The fact is, Hugh, and you were harping on it, and it's true, you're winning these conference games. You're beating Seattle. You're beating Detroit. You're beating Green Bay. You're beating Dallas. You're winning all. And now where does all that come into play? You own all those tiebreakers, all of them, over all those teams. So your chances, if the Falcons, I don't know what I put a percentage on it, if the Falcons end up 10-6, their odds of making the playoffs are extremely good. So 2-1 might get them in, but let's just win the division. I agree. I mean, I understand you want to win out, but this is where all that may come into play. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, to me, that's too much brain wrestling. Just win your last three games, and everything else take care of itself. I don't feel like, you know, doing all that brain wrestling. I ain't trying to do all that. Just take care of my business, because then I'm over here playing math. I'm doing mathematics. I got a piece of paper and a pencil in my hand, trying to figure out all these tiebreakers. No, just win my three games, and I'm in. That's all I know.
I already did the math for you. We're good.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You just come to me, Hugh.
That's it. And I'll come to you for my weather, too. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow, Squid?
You don't know. He's got to pull up his app. He's got to pull up that weather app.
Tell me what the weather
is that your
be
favorite
like,
app,
Squid?
The weather app? Is that just what you said?
No, I said Twitter.
Oh, Twitter.
I said weather initially.
That was it.
You know what? You can get the weather on Twitter sometimes. You follow the right people.
That's where you get yours, right?
You're a little snippy about that weather, ain't you?
Both started it this morning.
Did the NFL botch an injury to a quarterback? Got everybody talking this morning. We'll talk about that as we continue next.
It is Ben Roethlisberger.
And now on this Monday, the very latest from the National Football League, brought to you by Zero Res. And now, forget that it's 2 weeks to Christmas, and I've been telling you, you got to get zero as in if you're going to have the fam-damily over. It's Hanukkah season, Christmas, New Year's, and all that. They have a special going on right now. Three rooms, $139, all the way down for free. But also because of all that snow we had this weekend, or I assume that most people that listen to us got snow. I know some didn't, but, you know, there are people tracking stuff inside the house and outside the house, and now, you know, the carpets and the hardwoods are probably all gunked up. You know, I'm just saying.
Hey, John.
Uh-huh.
Do you take issue with Bob Burger saying Falcons? You get mad at the great Vince Scully for saying that many years ago.
You know, honestly, I had not noticed.
Oh, come on now, John. He was standing right there by you.
I was doing some. I was looking up some stuff with the Houston Texans here. I had my headset on. He said, "Did Bob says Falcons?"
Yes, I've been laughing at it all morning.
I'm going
to
go have a little.
I've been waiting on you to say something, and you didn't say one thing.
Right, well, I have a little chat with him.
All right.
Does he say Hawks?
I think he does.
Does that drive you nuts, Hawks?
No, that's just his accent. I've been waiting on you to say something about this because you attacked the great Vince Scully. You did.
Well, I attacked him.
You did.
John ain't about that life.
He ain't about that life. He said he had issue with Vince Scully for saying the Atlanta
Falcons.
Who's got he called him wolf tickets?
But Bob is here.
Yeah. Bob is standing right there by him.
You know what I'm saying? He ain't about that life.
He's in earshot of you every time he speaks.
You know, not many people got old man strength over me. He does.
He does have old man strength. Don't mess with Bob.
I was saying.
That's what it is.
He would beat you in a cage match.
I think he would.
Way to downplay it there, John.
You were swinging through this morning. Be careful when you're driving in. There is still snow and ice on the roads, as you know. Hey, why don't you swing through McDonald's and get yourself something to eat this morning? Dollar menus back at McDonald's. Get you a sausage biscuit, a McChicken biscuit, a sausage McMuffin. Just a dollar. Grab a coffee as well if you're going through McDonald's. And be careful out there because, you know, it's so interesting. It was such an unusual storm where we have people who got hammered and then people who didn't get, you know, any. I was among those in the northwestern burbs up there in Cherokee County that got quite a bit. But Paulding and Cherokee in that area, you know, 12 inches in Dallas and places like that where we just got inundated. And there were people – it was so funny because people on Twitter were going – I was posting pictures of the storm and people were tweeting me back here going, we don't have any. Meanwhile, in Covington – and it was, you know, clear, you know. Meanwhile, in Covington, there are people getting all up, you know, mad about the fact they didn't have any snow. And I get that. I think I would have been mad too if the south suburbs had gotten a foot and we hadn't gotten any.
It was nice down here.
It needed just to go away now. It's fun. It was cool. I know for a lot of people who haven't really seen a whole lot of snow regularly, I'm cool with it. I'm good. Let it go. Because it reminded me way too much of up north. I'm good. And plus, when it snows, people don't know how to drive. Like, seriously, down here, people do not know how to drive.
See, no one was on the highways or the streets.
No, but when they were on the highway on the streets, they're still driving like it's rain. It's not rain. It's snow. It's slushy. It's ice. And, you know, sometimes you need to slow that thing down just a little bit, especially when you're driving like a car and you can't put it in four-wheel drive. So, yeah, I mean, people were kind of like, you know, still driving all willy-nilly a little bit.
And truth be told, nobody can drive on black ice. I don't care who you are or where you are. You know, you could be, you know, my dad's one of these people. Oh, you know, the Southerners, they don't know how to drive on the snow and ice, you know, because he lives way up there in northern Michigan. Fact is, my dad couldn't drive on black ice. Nobody can. It's black ice for crying out loud. Yeah. I hit black ice on 75 once, long, long, long time ago, 30 years ago, and started doing donuts in the middle of the highway. Up there, right past Spaces Ferry, where the Steak and Shake is, driving up that hill, man, just doing donuts in the middle of the highway.
Did you tear up your car?
Oh yeah, bad.
Wow.
Because it caught and slammed right into the concrete divider there with that Mustang.
Was that Steak and Shake there 30 years ago?
Uh huh.
That's awesome.
John is awesome.
Yeah, that Steak and Shake been around a long, long time. What, Bo?
I love that story. I love hearing how. No, you tore your car up because you couldn't handle the snow and ice doing donuts.
Okay, listen to you.
Were all those other stores there?
Back to the NFL.
Did you do like in Superbad?
OK Cafe was there.
Did you do like in
Liquor
Superbad?
Liquor store was there too.
Because in Superbad when they were doing donuts and stuff and they slammed into the light pole, they just lit the car on fire and burned it. Did you do that, John?
No, I did not. Thanks, Bo. Meantime, the Houston Texans have had a hard time this year. There's so many teams that have lost their quarterbacks, as you know. I mean, Indianapolis lost its quarterback, and you saw what happened to them after Andrew Luck. I mean, what are they, 3-10? Green Bay lost its quarterback, and that's why we said, you know, Brett Hundley's done a nice job in place of Aaron Rodgers. And then Houston, of course, lost to Deshaun Watson, who was on track to be the rookie of the year when he went down with his season-ending injury. Well, yesterday, the backup, Tom Savage, who's a marginal player at best, had a moment against the San Francisco 49ers where he was hit in the game and he went down. When he went down, he was hit in the head. It was his hands started shaking and twitching, and they left him in the game. They left him in the game. Now the Texans pulled him out, you know, in the next series, but still they left him in the game. And after the game, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of the Texans, was talking about Tom Savage and that concussion.
He got hit on that one play in the end zone, I think, or near, you know, backed up in our end. And, you know, obviously the spotter wanted him evaluated. We evaluated him at that time, made the determination to put him, that he was okay. Not me, you know, obviously the evaluators made the determination to put him back in the game. And, you know, then he went back in the game and he came out and they evaluated him a little bit more just because of what they saw. And that's where it's at.
All right, one more from Bill O'Brien. Talking about how this decision is usually held by the hands of the medical people.
He doesn't want to come out of the game, but again, that's, you know, that's in the medical people's hands, and you know, they try to make the best decision for the player. You know, they're trying to, whatever they see, and then the testing that they do, they try to make the best decision with the player, and they weren't satisfied with the results of the second test, so they decided to you know, pull him.
So they check him immediately after the hit, and they say, "No, you're good."
I just don't know how it didn't take the one test. That was enough for me, or just to simply watch the film of him laying on the ground, his hands shaking. It's a pretty scary video if you even go back and watch it, how they didn't even take him out with that one test, that he needed a second test in order for them to figure that out.
Man, the NFL has had a rough week as far as the reality of the game. In the last few weeks, you know, with Ryan Shazier and now with Tom Savage, it's been a real reality check for a lot of people. And I think that they're starting to see the ugly side of what a lot of players deal with on a day-to-day. And the irony is, that's why the whole concussion protocol thing to me is funny, because it seems like the meter, just on the outside looking in, that the meters move for certain individuals. Like, and I'm not calling
it,
and I'm not trying to disparage or say anything negative about the Falcons, but you look at when Devontae Freeman had his concussions and they held him out during the preseason, then he had another one, they held him out, and then you look at Trufant's, and it's something different. There's not enough information about these concussions to evaluate them, I think, all the same. And when you look at Tom Savage's concussion or his hit and the way that he had, it looked like he had a mini seizure. It looked like he had a mini seizure. You would think that immediately he would come out, but I'm pretty sure that on the sideline, you know, people were talking about it. They didn't know what to do. The game was still, you know, a winnable game, and they want to try and get their quarterback out there. Because the bottom line is this, you're trying to win football games. And then I'm assuming the second time they checked him, somebody called down and said, "Listen, dude, you better check this cat out for real and pull him out the game, because this is a bad look." That's what it kind of felt like to me a little bit.
The problem is, I think this is more of a league problem, because the doctor that cleared Tom Savage to go back on the field was not a team doctor. It was an independent doctor hired by the league, sent there by the league, working on the sideline by the league. The people that and when these players go through the concussion protocol, they're not cleared by team doctors to go to play again. When Devontae got cleared to play against the Saints and the Vikings, he was cleared by an independent doctor, not a part of the team. So is the league not doing a good enough job where they get these doctors? I mean, are they just neurological doctors, or are they guys who base more in sports and concussions? I mean, what is the basis on how they they pick these doctors.
Yeah, right, there's that. Then we don't know what happens in the tent. You know, we don't know what kind of pressure is applied, you know, by the team to try to get their player back out there either.
There's a little bit of that, too. And there's probably some pressure for the player wanting to go play, you know, because I've seen guys who've had, you know, their bell rung that want to go back in the game because they're competitors. They're fierce competitors.
Well, that's where I blame the league, okay? If there is pressure, who's pressuring you? You don't work for that team, okay? You have no obligation to that team. You're an independent doctor. You work for the league puts you there. The team doesn't. So that's where I'm like, where is this coming from?
Right. I totally, and this is why this is an extreme situation with Tom Savage, and I agree with you. But at the same time, I can understand where a doctor would be hesitant because if you're doing concussion protocol and it's inconclusive, the last thing you want to do is be, you know, the guy that.
It's that's the problem. We don't know what the basis is for the concussion, and that's why I use the example of Trufant and Devontae Freeman, two guys in concussion protocol. One stayed a little bit longer than the other, but they both had concussions. It's just kind of weird that way.
There is still fallout from what happened on Thursday night. The New Orleans Saints are still way up in their feelings about everything that has happened, and there's even more news about the Saints that they're mad about. We'll have the very latest on Swamp People getting all worked up. We'll do that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now hear this. Hey, did you hear this?
Hey, did you hear this? They're all up in their feelings down there in Stinky Town about a lot of different things, not just the fact that the Falcons beat them.
For real?
What's the issue?
I don't have an issue, sir. I'm just saying.
I think it's a tremendous song, Daryl. I'm so glad you came in with it.
Tony Basil? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just, hey. I like it when you think outside the box with the music.
But you know I do that every day.
Yeah, but you went way back with this.
Well, I'm always like that, too, after I just did a gig. My mind is.
Okay. My bad. I'm just saying.
Fight.
You know? Yeah.
So the Saints are all up in their feelings about a lot of things that have gone on. One is apparently the NFL has hired the guy who was the whistleblower on Bonnygate and given him a nice job. His name is Mike Cerullo. And the Saints are saying, you did what? He's the whistleblower. Well, yeah, okay. And then the Saints go, you know what? He was here. He was no good at his job. Okay, yeah, you're going to say that now because he was the whistleblower who got you in trouble for Bonnygate. But that's not the only thing. Get this one, though. Did you hear this? In the game on Thursday night, Saints coach Sean Payton charged onto the field. He was yelling at an official at the end of the game, got him a flag, effectively ended the game, right? He later rips the officiating as extremely, quote, extremely poor and inconsistent. Well, it comes out that NBC Sports has found out that one of the officials on the crew was Phil McKinley, who played tackle for the Falcons for 5 or 6 seasons back in the late 70s and early 80s. And so NBC Sports notes that McKinley was not originally scheduled to work the game, but was added to the game crew, and of course the Saints were flagged 11 times for 87 yards in the game. But they have a rule that that you can't officiate a game for a team that you used to play for.
Well, what you want us to do, give it back, ain't going to happen. You want to get a do-over, it's not going to happen.
But this official also did the Saints-Bucks game and the Saints-Panthers game this year. Both games the Saints won, so he's officiated 2 of their games already this season and didn't have any disparity there, so now they're claiming that there could be one here. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and not only that, but he was let's call it what it was. He was the down judge, okay?
Mm.
Not the back judge, not the field judge, not the referee. He was the down judge, all right? The down judge isn't exactly throwing flags. I don't think a down judge ever thrown a flag in his entire life, standing there judging the downs.
I don't think so.
Been a lot of crying out of New Orleans with all the crap they pulled before the game. You know, had someone hired the guy to fly the flag in the airplane 28-3. Their choach gave a, you know, taunted our player with a choking sign.
Their choach.
What's a choach?
Their coach. Because he was saying coach and choke at the same time.
Yeah, I was mixing my words. You know, all these things they did, and there's a lot of whining out of New Orleans. New Orleans is, you know, they're starting to remind me of Carolina a little bit. You know, they come in, they puff their chest out, and then you punch them in the mouth, and then they cry about everything that didn't go their way.
That's how it usually works. Yeah. Especially when it happens like that. Like, you got to think about it like this, Bo. Let's just break this game down. Let's just break it down. Alvin Kamara goes out, what, the third play of the game? That's your whole game plan. That's your whole game plan. Now you are a fish out of water. And you can tell by the play calling that he was a big chunk of what they wanted to do.
That's great.
And they didn't have an answer. Yeah. And they got frustrated. No, I'm not. Listen, you know, if you have an issue, here's the tissue. I mean, I'm with that. But it's like, you know, that's what it is. And, you know, for him to make that choke sign, I said it yesterday. When we go to the coaches' meetings, if I'm Coach Quinn, I'm having a conversation with Sean. Like, you know, because that coaching fraternity, man, that's a sacred fraternity. And you're never supposed to, you know, disparage another coach or say something negative about them. That was kind of a diss. You know, talking about 23, you know, talking about you choked in the Super Bowl, how hard it is to get to that game. If I'm coach, I'm going to see Sean. I'm like, yo, Sean, what you mean by that choke sign, bro?
Well, here's another part of this. Here's another part of this story, Hugh. The league is reportedly reviewing Sean Payton's conduct in going onto the field to yell at the official late in the game. Okay, they're reviewing the conduct of going onto the field to yell at the official late in the game, which is fine. But what about calling out the referees? I mean, you can't say in an interview that officiating was extremely poor and inconsistent. That's an automatic fine, isn't it? And what about the choke sign? I mean, Sean Payton should be reviewed on at least three different incidents.
Actually, you add a fourth one because he also somewhat tripped the referee on the way off the field. And, well, here's the thing. It could be looked at innocently, but then again, after you've had multiple confrontations with the referees, was that trip? That's contact.
Way to double down, Bo. I'm so proud of you right now. You're bringing me to tears. You being so petty. But I mean, there's a lot that I don't think he's gonna get in trouble for that. I don't think he's gonna get in trouble for the choke sign. I really don't, because with everything else that has gone and transpired for him over the past week, I don't think that's gonna be a big deal.
Would a player get in trouble for a choke sign?
Of course, John. Of course he would. A player has got in trouble. But what I'm saying is this: I got a feeling that Coach Quinn's gonna bring this back up. This is gonna come back. It's gonna rear its ugly head because Coach Quinn about that life. And he's gonna ask him, "Yo, man, what's up with that choke sign?" And to his credit, it's not gonna be a hostile interaction. He's just gonna ask him, and he's gonna give Coach Payton an opportunity to answer it. You know, one or two ways. If you want to get, you know, froggy and leap, then it might be an issue. But if you just say, "I'm sorry," and keep it moving, then that, you know, we'll handle it that way.
You know, without all this going on, I didn't even know about I don't think I was aware of the whole allegedly tripping the ref. I mean,
I think Bo probably made that up.
You know, no.
Oh, really? There's video footage. No, you should check Twitter.
I will. You know, I mean, but you got him calling out the refs. You've got him, you know, doing the choke sign to Devontae. You've got him charging on the field. You've got him, you know, flying banners and what have you. But I don't know if that was a team. But you got, you know, them screaming about the Bounty Gate guy being hired by the NFL, or about the fact that the down judge happened to be a former Falcons tackle for a few years. The down judge, for crying out loud. I mean, again, it's the down judge. And all of this set against the fact that, what are people upset about? Devontae Freeman tweet that he deleted. You know, come on. You know, if you didn't, Devontae tweeted after the game, "Ain'ts, LOL," okay? And then he took it down. You know, and I don't blame him. I mean, if he's got the coach going choke in his face, all right, we got you. You know, I mean, the bad blood between these teams is, you know, man, 2 weeks, it can't come fast enough. Little Zydeco?
Indeed.
And not buckwheat Zydeco, is it?
I have no idea. You got me on that one, John.
Hey. We had a big weekend. Snowmageddon. And by the way, we have the latest on what's going to happen with the high school playoffs that were all canceled. We'll do that and bring you up to speed on that. And the other headlines, the Hawks and more next. With John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.